are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everyone. Today and tomorrow are much needed off days for the Timberwolves after a pair of extremely hard fought games against the Utah Jazz on Monday and Wednesday of this week. Of course, after stealing the game on Monday in Salt Lake City, the Timberwolves played well again on Wednesday, but they couldn't quite shoot the ball well enough to win, and especially from the free throw line and per usual from beyond the arc. So today we're going to spend a little bit of time on the game from Wednesday night, the tough home loss to the Jazz, and then also my key takeaways overall from the start to the season series for the Wolves and Jazz with two games in about 48 hours. We're also going to spend a few moments touching on the Timberwolves' new City Edition jerseys that were released during the day on Wednesday. So that's another new piece of news that wasn't really on my radar for being announced at this point, but this would be the third different edition of the City uniforms since the Timberwolves and the rest of the NBA switched over to Nike jerseys three seasons ago. So we'll talk a little bit about that and what my thoughts are in the jerseys, as well as what the team said about them when they released them. All right, so let's talk Wolves Jazz from Wednesday. Overall, the Utah defensive plan was really good in this game. It wasn't all that dissimilar from what they tried to do on Monday to disrupt the Wolves. I guess if you didn't see the game, the Timberwolves lost 103-95. It was really a seesaw battle. Both teams were in it throughout. The Jazz took a 7-point lead after the first quarter, built a double-digit lead. The Wolves fought back, got within a bucket at halftime, and then the Jazz led for most of the third quarter, but the Wolves took a couple of brief leads themselves. There were something like 15 lead changes, I think, in this game. And then early in the fourth quarter, the Wolves were down by 4 and then scored 10 straight themselves to take a 6-point lead. And then the Jazz did the same thing and took the lead back and didn't give it up. The Wolves fought extremely hard and overall played well, but they were just victims of not being good enough shooters in this game. And then also the Jazz effectively taking Karl-Anthony Towns out of the game. The first quarter was rough. Both Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns picked up 2 fouls each in a span of less than 5 minutes of gameplay. And at least 3 of those 4 fouls were questionable, to say the least, both of those guys. So they were each taken off the court early in the game, which allowed the Jazz to build a lead. The Wolves bench pushed back. Gorgui Dieng played very solid minutes in the first half in relief of Towns, but not having either Towns or Wiggins on the floor was extremely difficult. And the Wolves scored just 19 points in the first quarter and got off to a slow start in the second frame as well before Wiggins kind of turned it on and then Towns came back. So the Wolves weren't helped out by the referees early in the game. In terms of foul calls, the Jazz attempted double-digit free throws in the first quarter, and the Wolves, I think, attempted 2. So it was lopsided early. Ryan Saunders got his first technical of the season, and the officiating was subpar, to say the least. Then as the game wore on, it became more an issue of it didn't really matter if the Timberwolves were getting to the free throw line. They simply weren't making their shots there. They shot 11 of 21 from the free throw line, which is just over 52%. The Jazz were 19 of 27, which is 70%. So better, certainly, but also not great. It was overall a sloppy offensive game and a solid defensive game. Utah's defensive plan was, as I mentioned, similar to what it was on Monday, in that they were simply picking and choosing which shooters to leave open. They were trying to double any catches in the post in this game, and the Wolves tried to go inside a little bit more. Ultimately, and this was primarily in the second half, Towns only attempted 2 shots in the first half because of riding the bench for about 10 minutes of gameplay between in the first quarter and the start of the second quarter due to foul trouble, and then the Wolves just couldn't get him back into the flow of the offense. He attempted 2 shots. He made a 3-pointer early in the game and then wasn't as involved on offense. Gobert was doing a great job of actually getting out and contesting Towns beyond the 3-point arc with his massive wingspan instead of stepping back. There was only one point in the game where Gobert and Towns were both in the game and Towns was able to get enough space to shoot a 3. I take that back. There were 2. The first attempt of the game, and then early in the fourth quarter after a pick and roll, Gobert for some reason did not get up and contest Townsend. Instead, was worried about the drive, and Towns drained a three-pointer. Every other time that Towns was looking to shoot a three, Gobert was there and in his face. The other thing that the Jazz did that was a little bit different from Monday is they began switching the pick and roll. I think this was mostly in the fourth quarter, and Towns would get a small on him in after the screen and take them down into the post, and the Jazz would immediately double team, sometimes even before the catch, but really on the catch in the post, and then Towns would have to give the ball up. And typically the ball would get swung around, there'd be an open player on the weak side, and then that player would either not get the ball in time, or by the time they got it, they would not be as open and would just miss the shot. And that was kind of the story of the fourth quarter, is that the likes of Jarrett Culver were getting open looks at the rim from the three-point arc, Trevion Graham, and neither of those guys could hit threes. And that was kind of the Wolves' downfall. Credit the Jazz for an outstanding defensive game plan to force the ball out of Towns' hands and keep him from getting easy looks at the rim from beyond the arc. And that was what was so key on Monday, was Towns was able to shoot 15 threes. And by the time this game was all said and done, Towns had only attempted 7 three-pointers, and he made 4 of them, but only 10 shots overall. So that meant he attempted 3 shots from inside the arc. I believe that they were all, at least a couple of them were off offensive rebounds. He had 2 offensive rebounds in the game. So 2 of those 3 shots were definitely putback attempts from Towns. And he was just overall quiet. He had 14 points, 12 rebounds. Like I said, 10 shot attempts, only 1 assist, 1 block, and 3 turnovers. He was a team worst minus 20 in the plus minus column. I would say he was the worst player on the floor for the Wolves, not by any stretch of the imagination, but the Jazz game plan definitely kept him out of things in this game. So credit them, to be sure. All right, next up, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other issues that the Wolves had in this game and what the overall takeaways from the series are so far. Wolves Jazz, which apparently is going to be much more closely contested than I think we all thought. But before we get into that, I did want to mention our friends at MyBookie. We're a week out from Thanksgiving now, and well, Christmas Day will belong to the NBA. Of course, Thanksgiving's all about the NFL. So attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally can't lose. It's no risk and all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA. And MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let's repeat that. That's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, let's put a bow on Wolves Jazz, both for this game and in the, I guess, the 2 games this week. As mentioned, the Timberwolves really struggled from the free throw line, and to compound matters, Karl Anthony Towns didn't even get to the free throw line in this game. Jeff Teague attempted 11 free throws. He was beating Mike Conley off the dribble, but also had plenty of driving lanes because of the way the Jazz were playing the pick and roll. And so he was 2 for 9 from the field. Many of those attempts at the rim, he got fouled plenty. He was 7-11 from the free throw line, which is below where he should be for his career. I mean, he should have made shooting 11. He should have made 8 or 9, and he made 7. And he struggled at the rim when he got there. Teague probably could have been called, or there probably could have been fouls called on his shot attempts at the rim a couple of other times, but he also had some and-one opportunities that rimmed out. He had some point-blank shots that he simply missed, and he didn't make a shot at the rim until he had a wide-open finger roll in like an 8 or 10-point game in the last couple minutes. So effectively, he didn't really make a shot from the field until the game was really in garbage time. His final line of 12 points and 6 assists, 4 rebounds, only 1 turnover in 34 minutes isn't bad, but it doesn't tell the story of just how many shot attempts he had wide open in the paint that he blew. And then he was one of the primary culprits in missing at the free throw line. Robert Covington was 2 of 5 from the free throw line. He's another player that the Jazz did an outstanding job of running off of the 3-point line and forcing him to put the ball on the floor. And Rocco did a good job with that. He was 4 of 5 from the field overall. And that meant he was 3 for 3 from inside the arc, his only miss coming from outside the 3-point line. And he did get fouled more than usual, but struggled at the free throw line. He did get fouled on a 3-point attempt, but made just 1 of 3 at the, beyond the arc. And then in the other instance that he went to the free throw line, he split a pair and was 1 of 2. He had only 3 rebounds in this game as well. So it was a little bit of a rough night for Rocco in that respect. He was solid on defense overall. He had 3 blocks and 2 steals, but there were a couple of moments where he ended up on an island against Donovan Mitchell and didn't appear to have the same lateral quickness that we're used to seeing. So clearly Covington is still in recovery from the knee surgery that he had last spring. But he was really good in the team concept on defense and had a couple of big help side strips and got in the passing lane a couple of times and was extremely involved per usual. But going back to the Jazz defensive philosophy, they forced Andrew Wiggins and Jarrett Culver and Josh Okogie to take far more threes than the Wolves would have wanted them to take in this game. Wiggins was 1 of 10 on 3-point attempts. And while his aggression was good and he had a couple of tough, you know, in and out misses, the Utah Jazz would much rather have Andrew Wiggins and Jarrett Culver and Josh Okogie combined to shoot 23-pointers, which is what they did, than any combination of Karl-Anthony Towns and Robert Covington launching threes. You combine those three guys and their 23-pointers, they were 3 of 20. Culver's 2 for 7, Wiggins 1 for 10, Okogie 0 for 3. It's exactly what the Jazz wanted to do, and it worked to a T for them in this game. Wiggins will have better shooting nights. He also was really good once he actually got into the paint. He was 9 of 14 from inside the arc. So, and there were only, I think, 2 bad mid-range jumpers he took, and the rest of his shots were in the paint. He played another solid game. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 34 minutes. He was the only Timberwolves starter to have a positive plus minus. He was just +1, but he was effective. It's just he was missing some of those threes. There were a couple late that were forced when he probably could have given the ball up to Towns when they each were being guarded outside the arc. But overall, a decent game from Wiggins, and just too bad that his 3-point shot didn't fall, but good to see him back on the court and good to see him stay aggressive. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on what he's able to bring next time out. But I think to boil it down, you give credit to the Jazz defensive plan for taking Towns mostly out of the game. The Timberwolves struggled mightily from the free throw line, shooting 52% on free throws and then 31% from beyond the arc. And then they struggled at the rim, and primarily Jeff Teague struggled at the rim, and that was an issue. But the biggest thing continues to be the lack of 3-point shooting that this team has. Keelan Martin was 2 of 5 from beyond the arc in this one, so he does appear to be a legitimate contributor. He had 10.7 rebounds in just 25 minutes. So expect Martin to see minutes as long as Jake Layman's out with his toe injury, which I'd expect him to miss the next couple of games still. Keelan Martin's going to be part of that rotation because he brings that shooting dynamic that the rest of the Wolves wings don't really have outside of Robert Covington. But Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver, for as good as they've been on defense and as many flashes as they both showed on offense, especially Culver, the 3-point shooting is an issue. So if this team's going to make any noise in terms of a playoff spot, they're going to need to make an acquisition or two or shuffle their rotation or something to get a little bit more talent when it comes to outside the arc. So overall, I think the story of these two games are these two teams are far more evenly matched than we thought. The Jazz are 9 and 5 on the season. The Wolves are 8 and 7. They each stole a game on the opponent's home court. They also have kind of inverse home road records. The Wolves have been much better on the road than they have at home, and the Jazz were 6-0 at home until they faced the Timberwolves on Monday. The Wolves are going to need to figure out a way to get Towns the ball in more in better spots on the floor to score against Rudy Gobert and the rest of the Jazz defense, as this game was just a clinic defensively by the Jazz. And both teams are good defensive teams. The Wolves are still middle of the pack defensive rating wise, and the Jazz aren't a good enough shooting team themselves to really exploit the way that the Wolves play defensively. The Jazz did have a really good shooting night. We didn't even mention Bojan Bogdanović to this point, but he had 30 points in this one. The Wolves actually did a really good job on Donovan Mitchell in both of these games. He had 25 shot attempts the other night and only scored, I don't remember exactly, 16 points or something, but it was something like almost twice as many shot attempts as he had points. And in this game, he had 26 and 7 rebounds, 2 assists, but it took him 24 shots to get there. Bogdanovich, on the other hand, had 30 points, 6 of 11 from beyond the arc, hit a couple of dagger threes from the right corner late in the game as the Jazz were trying to hold off the Wolves. The Wolves got to within 5 or 6 points with a couple minutes left, and Bogdanovich hit a couple of threes, and that was it. Gobert had a much better game this time around. The Wolves didn't pull him away from the rim as well. He had 5 blocks. There were a couple of kind of foolish challenges at the rim by Jarrett Culver, among others. Wiggins beat Gobert a couple of times with floaters and then was blocked on his last attempt at the rim of the game. So just really entertaining basketball, even though it was low scoring. Both teams were very good on defense. They made enough plays on offense and have enough dynamic scores to make it interesting. Here's hoping for some better free throw shooting, really, from both teams, just in terms of quality of play. And then also the Wolves will need to figure out what they're doing from beyond the arc. Okay, last segment, we're going to talk about the new City Edition uniforms that the Wolves rolled out and talk through what my thoughts are on those. Before we get into it, though, did want to mention our friends at Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and 2 Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. That's audible.com/lockedonNBA. And if you're listening on the go right now, if you're in the car, if you can't visit Audible, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. That's lockedonpodcast.com/offers. You can check out all this offer from Audible as well as all other Locked On offers at that website. On Wednesday, the Timberwolves announced the third version of their City Edition jerseys. If you're not familiar, Nike became the official jersey sponsor and, I guess, manufacturer of the NBA 3 seasons ago. And they have the Icon and Association jerseys, which are essentially home and road jerseys that don't have to just be worn on the home and the road. The Wolves have actually worn their blue jerseys far more than any other design the last couple of seasons. And in my opinion, they are their best jerseys. So good move by them. But the Icon and Association jerseys, and then there's the Statement jerseys. The Wolves have, for the last couple of seasons now, had the Aurora Green jerseys that they'll wear at home on Saturday nights. And then the City Edition. So last year, or 2 years ago, in the first season, it was the gray. It was essentially just a redesign of the white and blue jerseys, but gray, exact same design, said Wolves across the chest. So in that sense, it was the same as the white ones. And gray jersey, white Wolves across the chest with some flecks of texture on the sides that was supposed to resemble a Timberwolves fur. Not the best jerseys that the Wolves have put out there. They did clinch their first playoff berth in 14 years wearing those in that game 82 against the Nuggets 2 seasons ago. So some fond memories in those jerseys. They wore them in the playoffs against the Rockets a couple of times. Then last season, there were the Prince-inspired jerseys that were black with the purple on them and extremely well-received. And then the Timberwolves actually ended up releasing the earned edition jerseys, which was for all the teams that had made the playoffs the prior season in the 17-18 year, got to release a separate set of jerseys during the 18-19 season. And the Wolves essentially took those Prince jerseys and inverted them. I guess not straight inverted them because it wasn't purple with black, but it was white with purple. So white jerseys with everything purple, said Minneapolis, the MPLS on the shorts, really cool. I think the actual City Edition jerseys, the black with the purple, the Prince jerseys were the best, but the earned edition ones were solid as well. Now this year, the Timberwolves have announced a City Edition jersey that truly is a City Edition jersey. Obviously Prince was a Minneapolis and a Minnesota icon, but they've gone the route of some other teams and really just done the straight, you know, right on the nose, this is our city thing. And I think they did a very good job with it. These jerseys are a light blue, and they say MSP across the chest. So they're first jerseys that they've released that haven't just said Wolves or Minnesota across the chest since the Nike redesign. The shorts also have a logo on the front of the shorts that is kind of a new proprietary logo. The Timberwolves are working with three different local clothing manufacturers on this. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But the actual description of the jerseys on the website, they did a press conference to release these and then put out a cool 60-second video and have a landing page on the website that's specific to the ticket packages that they're selling and the merchandise they're selling in conjunction with the new design. So on the website, the Wolves explain, obviously, that MSP is an abbreviation for Minneapolis St. Paul, and then also explain that the logo on the shorts, which they're selling a ton of merchandise with this logo, is the literal representation of the map, the outline of the city limits for Minneapolis and St. Paul, with the Mississippi River kind of cutting through the middle, and then it says the cities. Really, really awesome. I think that's the coolest part of this jersey. The stripe down the side of the jersey and onto the shorts is supposed to represent the Mississippi River. And the Wolves are kind of using this slogan, last city of the East, of course, St. Paul, first city of the West, Minneapolis. So that's also pretty awesome. The blue that is the entire jersey is supposed to represent the Mississippi River that unites and divides the Twin Cities, but also the span of weather from blue skies of summer to ice blue of winter. And it really is a cool shade of blue the Wolves haven't really used. The first few versions of jerseys in Timberwolves history all had some kind of blue incorporated. And then the newest ones and the new court that they rolled out three seasons ago had that dark blue that's everywhere. And that was new for the Timberwolves. And now they've kind of gone the opposite way. And it's not quite a baby blue, but just kind of a cool, I guess icy is a good way to describe it, blue. So really clean, really simple, which is a theme of many of these Nike jerseys, but especially the Timberwolves so far. It feels like they could have maybe done a little more with some of the real estate towards the bottom of the jersey, you know, lake outline somewhere, or maybe the skyline or something. But I would expect those are all things that I'm sure were part of the discussion and could be in the future as well. These are just really clean and they look good and they're going to do well merchandise wise, I'm sure. They also have released ticket packages for the five home games that they've announced that they'll be wearing these jerseys for. And each ticket package comes with, you buy the ticket and you get an item that's created by a local clothing manufacturer that makes Minneapolis St. Paul branded clothes. So there's a whole line of merchandise that they're going to release through each of these. And the Wolves reported on Fox Sports North last night that they will be selling some of this merchandise in the team pro shop at Target Center. So really cool for the Wolves to be handling it this way, to be including local companies and really kind of having a synergy there with this stuff. As the Twins did something similar this year with, I think it was Soda Stick was the company. And so really cool that the Timberwolves have formed these partnerships and are moving forward in that way. They won't wear these jerseys for the first time until December 13th. That's a Friday night home game against the Clippers. They're actually doing a full arena giveaway of a really cool MSP t-shirt on that night. So good job by the Wolves on this. They're calling it the line of these jerseys that every team rolls out is called the City Edition. The Timberwolves are calling theirs the Cities Edition, meaning the Twin Cities, of course. So that's kind of another neat little twist that the Timberwolves are doing with this. So it'd be fun to see these jerseys on the court on December 13th. And overall, I think a really solid job with the brand, the branding of the jersey, and also the rollout and the explanation and everything that went along with it. All right, that's all we have today. Didn't want to mention the next Wolves game isn't until Saturday, so we've got two off days in a row here for the first time in a couple of weeks. The Wolves host the Phoenix Suns on Saturday. We'll preview that matchup on Friday's Locked On Podcast episode. The Suns, of course, have had a pretty good season so far. We'll talk a lot more about that. And also Ricky Rubio will return to Target Center. The game's a 4 p.m. tip on Saturday, which is a little weird, so don't forget to watch the game about 3 hours earlier than you probably were expecting to on Saturday night. That's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.